When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Where does creativity fit into compliance? In more places than you think. Problem solving, accountability, communication, and connection, they all take creativity. Join your hosts, Tom Fox and Ronnie Feldman, on Creativity and Compliance, part of the Compliance Podcast Network.
In this episode, Tom and Ronnie visit with Lynn Larson and Corey McDonald from Ethics and Compliance Training at Starbucks to talk about the communications campaign that Ronnie worked on them with for their stores and store partners across the country. Today, Ronnie and I are thrilled to have Corey McDonald and Lynn Larson to join us to talk about a project they did with Ronnie. So before we get started, Corey and Lynn, if I could ask you all to tell us what your current role is.
Corey McDonald, I am a learning manager for ethics and compliance here at Starbucks. So that's a fancy way of saying I strategize, develop, create content regarding ethics and compliance related topics for our North American global audience. We reach all the corners of the globe when it comes to our training.
And I'm Lynn Larson. I work with Corey. Everything that she just said, only I work also on the communication side. And Corey and another partner that we work with here, this is Starbucks. We call each other partners, not employees. They do all things training. And me and another partner, Steph, we do all things communications as well. So our team specializes in that world. So we're awareness, communications, training, otherwise known as the ACT team here at Starbucks, Ethics and Compliance.
Over to you, Ronnie.
So that's great. The ACT team? What does ACT stand for?
Awareness, communications, training.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. I love that actually that you make that distinction because so many companies, they just talk about training. And as we've talked several times, both you and I, Tom, and me and the Starbucks team have talked about, there's like a much finer delineation of what these things do. So I'm very excited to talk to you guys today. We'll start talking about a specific project, but I think it's a nice starting point for a much broader discussion. We made a video together. We worked on a project for our Tales from the Hotline series. And we told a story that we entitled, It's Just a Joke. And just a quick summary of that, to me, the project was about all these little microaggressions that pop up, these workplace respect issues that pop up that may or may not be the big overt thing that you think of when you think of harassment and discrimination, but all these little things that sort of bubble to the surface and marginalize people and cause little problems. And I wanted to just start by asking you guys, what was the inspiration for wanting to address this specific issue? And then we'll get into like how we chose to address it. But what was like the inspiration of why you're like, okay, let's make some content about this?
I think you said it. It's a lot of times training has these big, obvious problems with big, obvious right and wrong answers. And we know that's not always the case, especially in a workplace, is that there are the more subtle ones. There's a meme that's out there that says, did he compliment my shoes or did he harass me? And it's, you don't quite know. And it's where you have to stop and go, did that sound like the right thing to say? And if you have to pause and ask yourself that, then chances are probably it wasn't the right thing to say. But those aren't the obvious scenarios that come up in training pretty frequently. And so we wanted to make sure that we address those gray areas, I think is how you can describe them, of where it's not obvious what the right answer is because the situation isn't obvious.
And let me tee you up. I know that one of the things that you brought to me to help us figure out what things to address was that you did a survey or it was a top 10 list or something like that. Maybe could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. One of the things that we did, we work with our ethics and compliance investigators, and they have three managers. And so when we were creating training, we met with the managers and we said, one of the pieces of feedback that we get all the time is, give us more real life scenarios. We want to know exactly what happens, especially for our partners in the store. If you work in an office, the situation isn't quite the same as when you're in a store and it's busy and there's 10 partners behind the bar and you're bumping into one another and oops, somebody's hand accidentally goes somewhere it shouldn't be. That's not the same in a workplace, an office environment. So we wanted scenarios that were really relevant to our store partners. And what they did is they came up with what we called the top 10. And three managers, three different top 10 lists, but still the, I would say, top 3 to 5 were all the same. And so it was obvious that this is something that they're noticing as a problem and that we need to address it. And so some of them were, like I said, keep your hands up when you're moving by somebody, or don't ask someone out 6 different times when they told you no 6 different times. Or language in the workplace, because certain things are referenced or certain jokes are made, and somebody's going to say, I didn't find that funny. In fact, I found that offensive. And so the scenarios that we really were working with were true to life. And so therefore, that's where we wanted to also use those from a training perspective.
And just to tailgate on everything Corey said, the name came from It's Just a Joke, which, aside from, it can be something that they said, it can be something that they touched, it can be throwing ice down somebody's back, it can be whatever it might be. But oftentimes, the reason, it's just a joke, I didn't mean anything by it. And it goes back to that whole thing where you're, I think I learned it from a podcast very much like this one a couple of years ago, when somebody said, your intent is important. Your impact is far more important. And that's where It's a Joke really came from. We needed to help people realize, to use your word, Ronnie, microaggressions are everywhere. And most of the time, we don't even realize we're doing them. And it's really to drive that awareness using relevant scenarios that we get from our investigations team, because they said the top 10 lists also came from, what are the number one behaviors that you see that are going to turn into a call to the ethics and compliance helpline or an entry into the web line? So that's where all of those came from, and they were invaluable, as Corey has already told you.
So, like, one of the things I just find interesting is that, you know, I like how you say intent versus impact. I think a lot of training, a lot of e-learning that at least that I've seen from the, well, so call like the big training vendors, tends to hit the really obvious stuff. And most employees don't think that they're the problem, right? The people taking the training don't think that they're the problem. So they're going to check out on it anyway. So part of this is addressing the idea that we're talking to the people who are like, hey, this video, you don't think it's for you. It's for you, because half the problem, more than likely, the majority of these problems are not from bad actors. It's from people unintentionally doing something that they didn't know offended someone. Or their sensibilities are off. They're like, oh, come on, I'm just fooling around. It's their just sense of humors are slightly different. So I think content like this is really valuable in the sense that it can hopefully make people think for a second. I also want to talk about the fact that we try to address the issue that if these things go unchecked for a while, it becomes the culture. Culture is such a big fuzzy word, but really culture is a combination of all the different ways that we communicate over time. So maybe say a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think that the point of the training, and you said it, is that nobody comes to work intending to do bad things. No one wants to be the bad apple, right? And when the things happen and they happen in the moment, it's, if you don't address it and speak up, that's how you allow that culture to continue. And so to that end, if it's a joke, I'm sorry, I didn't find that joke funny. I found it offensive. If you don't speak up and inform that person that what they just said was not okay, you are implicit in letting that culture continue. And likewise, if you take it to your leadership and your leadership says, it was just a joke, let it go, you're being too sensitive, that in turn is also allowing that culture of permissive behavior. And that's where we see it become an ethics and compliance webline issue, is because It was not addressed in the moment. And leadership didn't address it either. If leadership is blowing it off and sweeping it under the rug, they're allowing that culture to continue. And by in turn, they're telling their partners that, hey, this is okay, keep going. And that's when you start to see it become this huge issue where everybody involved is part of this culture, whether they want to or not. And it's really, that's where you start to see a big problem happening.
There was something that seemed very obvious in working on this project that I hadn't really thought of before. What I make a lot of content on the importance of speaking up. And almost always we say, you can speak to a manager, you can speak to ethics compliance, you can call a confidential helpline, which is operated by an independent third party. But what you all were emphasizing is your recommendation is if you're comfortable in the moment to speak up about it directly.
And that's the key. If you're comfortable in the moment, because there are some times that we know people aren't comfortable speaking up. And it could be for a variety of reasons. And that's where they can then take it to leadership and have leadership speak on behalf of them. But also it's a bystander issue, because if you don't speak up and say, what you just said is not funny, it's not okay, and I would like you to stop, again, you're allowing that behavior to continue. Or if you say to leadership later, hey, so-and-so just made a really offensive comment and I did not find it funny, I didn't find it humorous, I think you might need to talk to him. That's when leadership needs to take action immediately. Because again, if they don't address the issue in the moment, and you even said it, you don't know what you're doing until somebody brings it to your attention and tells you, hey, people don't find that funny. More often than not, those people that are having that brought to their attention are grateful for that. Thank you so much for telling me. I will not do that again. But if they're not told, they're just going to keep on going and it's going to get worse and worse.
Sorry, go ahead, Len.
Another tailgating comment here, because I think Corey touched on something really important, and that's manager behavior. And you did too, Ronnie. Not only are we hoping that people watch this and realize, oh my gosh, I do need to be careful about what I say and how I say it and my impact versus my intent. We also want managers to realize, hey, I need to be a more open door manager in case any of these things happen on my team or in my general area. And I'm a leader of people. We have a newer leader right now, and she has a slide in one of her leadership presentations to newer vice presidents at our company. And it's the only time in my career that I've ever used 500-point font on a PowerPoint. And it's just four letters, IMAX, I-M-A-X. And she said, this is the difference between you before you were a VP and you now. You just went from a regular screen to an IMAX screen and everybody is paying attention to what you do. You need to model that behavior and you need to be the picture of intent versus impact. And you also need to be approachable because people are going to report things to you. You have additional responsibility there. So I felt as a manager, I felt an additional responsibility to mention it here right now.
And there's also the element of trust, because I think this is so important, especially for people who do need to come to managers when there's an issue, is that they need to trust that their manager is going to take the necessary action. And that's honestly, sometimes we don't see that happening. And that's where you start to see ethics and compliance have to be involved. And then during the course of the investigation, we find out that, yes, the store manager was aware of the situation that was brought to the store manager's attention, and the store manager took no action. And so oftentimes when there is the consequences involved, we've had situations where the store manager was terminated because they did not take action. The issue was severe and it was egregious, and therefore termination was warranted.
The thing I want to amplify, the many things you've said, but one of the things that I want to amplify is the idea of allyship, whether that's a manager or a peer. I think a lot of the stats say that most people really have trouble speaking up, particularly for themselves, but they're much more likely to speak up on behalf of a colleague. Like, we like to help people. And so the encouragement of doing that, I think, is maybe a really helpful point for other companies to think about, just because of the social that's not the right word, the behavioral science behind why people don't want to speak up on their own behalf, but they're likely to help out someone. So maybe encouraging that behavior. And I also want to point out the idea, like, I have an improv background. You guys have heard me yammer on about that before. There's a difference between having a difficult conversation and a conversation about a difficult thing.
Oh, yeah.
So when we talk about speaking up in the moment or being an ally in the moment, doesn't necessarily mean yelling or berating. It could be like, hey, that didn't sit well with me. It can be a gentler conversation. We actually even teach an improv workshop called, we call it different things, but it's like welcoming disagreement, finding a way to positive conflict. So to find positive ways to address a really difficult thing and using different word choice for that.
Anyway, yeah.
An interesting.
Absolutely.
It doesn't have to be confrontational or conflicting.
No, exactly. And I think that's totally it. And that's part of a manager's toolbox, really, is we give them a lot of tools. When a person comes in and they become a new store manager, we give them all of these tools about how to work the business and how to write a schedule and all that stuff. And nowhere do we have the soft skills conversation of how do you talk to your people in a way that demands respect and offers respect back? How do you have conversations that aren't comfortable, that are a little awkward? And a lot of times we have our new managers that are like, I don't know how to talk to people about this. And in a perfect world, our district managers and our district leadership would work with those people in role play and that kind of thing. And that's hopefully what they do. But oftentimes they may not get that. And so we're hoping that these trainings that we offer give them some guidance and some helpful hints. We actually involve some questions that we can give to our store managers. If you don't know how to start the conversation, here's a couple of things you can ask. And so we offer that as a tool to these managers in training. And the feedback has been really great. A lot of our managers have said, this needs to be in training when I become a new manager. Put it in the first 30 to 60 days, because that is so important. Because we don't train on soft skills. We're hoping that our managers come in with that already under their belt. But if they don't have, that's where things can go really wrong.
I want to do a quick transition. And I promise, Tom, I'll check in with you in a second. But I want to make sure we get to... I thought one of the most fascinating things about making this video with you guys is we actually was a group project. So for the listeners out there, we had several companies who were all working together to make a series of videos on a variety of topics that were all have the storytelling technique. And we figure if we can get five companies to agree on the way to deal with this, then we have something that'll probably resonate to many companies. And we had a really difficult time coming to agreement on how to make this video. And the main issue, if I'll try and summarize it and then get your input, is that can you say the bad thing that, so in the video, can we say the bad thing that people are doing so that people know that this thing that we're saying is not okay? Or do you have to provide innuendo about it? There were several companies that were like, no, I can't put this in the video. I don't want to say the bad thing. And we had a debate about it. So I wanted to get your opinion about that issue. I know where you stand, but I want to talk about it. Thank
you. It's totally valid. And I totally understand why companies feel that way. But that's so frustrating for a learner. Because if you don't know what it is that they're talking about, then you're like, that obviously is never going to happen to me. And then it does happen to you and you don't know what to do. And one of our investigations managers, so we had a scenario where we had to use a word and we used the word. And I had quite a few sleepless nights back and forth going, I can't believe we're using this word. We're going to get in so much trouble. And our investigation manager said, look, clear is kind. And I know that's a Brené Brown quote, so I'm going to quote it correctly, but it's, look, we have to be very clear and very specific about what we're talking about, because when we dance around the topic and we're very gray, that's where people don't understand and they don't think that the situation applies to them. So we got to use it. And yeah, there are some people that are like, whoa, where did this come from? And I will say that we put a warning in our training that did say, this has got some uncomfortable language. It is inappropriate language. It is in the context of learning only. Starbucks does not allow for this language or advocate this kind of language. So we put the warning out there, but we still have a lot of people going, oh my God, a little heads up would have been nice, even though we had that in there. But yeah, people either love you or hate you for that kind of stuff. But in the end, you gotta be specific if you're gonna try and curb the situation, because The reason we put it in there is because it's happening in our stores. And so we had to put it in there, even using the exact word. And yeah, there's a level of discomfort there, but sometimes that's necessary.
Yes, more tailgating comments. It speaks to everything that you just talked about, Ronnie, which is its intent, its impact. It's also being relevant. Everybody knows what the N-word is. Not everybody knows all of the other words that are inappropriate and would mean a microaggression or would mean something that was demeaning to a particular protected class or even an unprotected class. We had to include those to make sure that we were being relevant. And because it was also identified as our investigators as this one is happening a lot more than it used to. So we kept it in there. We did get some people that said, whoa, I forgot that I read a warning earlier.
Yep.
That sounded mean. I want to say a lot, and I'm going to put that in quotes, but I don't even think we hit double digits.
Yeah, I was just about to say, I think the percentage of comments that we got that were, and I don't even want to say negative. It wasn't that they were like, how dare you use this word?
Yeah.
It was, you using this word made me uncomfortable. And my thought was, that's the point. That's the point we're trying to make, is that word should make you uncomfortable, and yet it's being used. So if you're comfortable saying it from behind a computer screen, which again, I think that's part of a lot of the issue that we're seeing, and slight diatribe.
Yeah.
The generation that we have in our stores, the demographic is younger, and they're, I like to call them the Generation T because they're Generation TikTok, and they are totally comfortable speaking from behind a phone or a laptop or a keyboard, and they're totally comfortable saying it that way, but they're not comfortable saying what you just said is offensive and I don't appreciate it.
Yep.
It's that one-to-one interaction that a lot of our baristas and shift supervisors aren't comfortable with. So rather than doing that, they pick up the phone and they call our helpline and they file a complaint that way. And that becomes an investigation. And oftentimes it's, was that it? That was it, right? That was the comment.
Yeah.
What did you do? I didn't say anything.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
You didn't say anything.
You didn't say anything.
Okay.
Okay.
And then the remediation is there's some coaching involved and there's some stuff like that. But if it had just been addressed before it got worse, it probably would have been needed to have a call. But because people don't feel comfortable speaking up, they do speak up, but they speak up by calling a 1-800 number and filing a report that way.
Yeah.
And so when we say speaking up, it's not even a confrontation. It's just, I see what you're doing and it's not okay.
Yeah. Don't use that word again. You know, it's, and as I was listening to you, it's first of all, thank you for speaking up with your call, with your web line entry. Second of all, if you're uncomfortable, you're learning. You're learning something. So good for you. Third, here's what you're going to do next time, because that's where this remediation is going to go. Exactly what Corey just said. Let's have a coaching conversation about how you address this in the moment, because that's what we mean by a speak up culture. That's where you're modeling behavior that we want our leaders to do, that we want everybody to do. So that's how you use learning to impact behavior.
Yes.
At your company, with your people.
I have a few thoughts about how to button this up, but Tom, let's check in. Do you have any thoughts or comments that you wanted to add in?
Actually, Corey, I wanted to pick up with a topic you've raised around the age of your workforce. And do you have the challenges you articulated around speak up? What about people who this is literally their first job, first paid job, first job with others, other than sit at home gig work as a computer programmer or a design artist? What are some of the challenges with people literally who've never been in front of the public before or in the back of the house working with others? How do you help either, how do you prepare communications and training for them, or how do you help their managers really do that? Could you speak to that topic?
It's a great question. I was listening to NPR, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the other day. And that actually was one of the questions. And it was saying that due to the pandemic, the generation that's coming into their very first job, do not know how to work in a work environment. They were so isolated and siloed that they don't know how to interact with one another. There are actually classes online now I heard about that say how to talk to people and how to not bump into somebody in the kitchen or anything like that. I think, Tom, you said it, is that it's really the responsibility of the manager to help guide that person to be a respectful partner. I think that's really where it comes down to. And we always say that one of our mission and values is to create a place where everybody is welcomed with respect and dignity and is free to be themselves. And respect and dignity go both ways, right? And we want you to be respected, and likewise, I want you to respect me. And I think that's where the manager is really the key tool there, because hopefully in the interview process, they're talking and they're getting a good grasp of what that individual is like. But that's where then you can help coach them. I have a 15-year-old son, and he is working his first summer job right now. And it's completely volunteer. He's not getting paid. But the reason why I had him do this job, because he's not happy he's doing this job, is that he has to learn how to talk to people. And he has to learn how to interact with people that are his friends, that may have different likes or dislikes or hobbies or preferences or anything like that. And you have to learn how to give and take and compromise and have a conversation that is not all about your topic. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully when he does go into the workforce, in the paid workforce, he's got that under his belt. And that's really one of the things that I know I'm trying to coach my son, but I'm in our stores, that's the store manager. And that's where we really rely on them to be that guide. And we have a lot of store managers that say, my people are my family. And so that's where your family, you can have those conversations and say,
stop it.
Hitting. I know that. Like, that's where you can say, come on, you're being disrespectful. Can you not do that? Can you stop, please?
Yeah. Don't untie his apron.
Yeah.
We hear so many of these things, Tom. We hear them from our investigation managers, we hear them from the investigators, and they are all glowing examples of the fact that Starbucks employs a lot of people that are at their very first paid job, their very first time working for somebody else, working for a different shift supervisor that might be just a few years older than they are. They might know who they are, but that shift supervisor has to coach them on all of the different things that they need to do right, that they need to say correctly. And a lot of our investigations are in many cases going back to the store management team and saying, we're not going to do an investigation here. You're going to put on your manager pants.
Yes.
And you're going to coach this partner, and you're going to coach all of your management staff to coach the rest of their partners in the same way about our mission and our values and how we treat each other, mm-hmm. and how you treat your fellow partners and how you treat customers. And if you wouldn't say it in front of a customer, then don't say it in front of another partner. Those types of things where, like Corey is saying, that manager has got to step into maybe a role that's a little bit uncomfortable for them too. So they're uncomfortable and they're learning.
Yeah.
But in order to make things right, and in order to get that partner started off at their first job on the right foot and the next foot and the next foot, and to really leave a legacy that we want Starbucks to be leaving with these people, you're going to have to talk about their everyday sorts of behavior and what they call people and what they say to people and how they interact in a crowded room or in a crowded back room. And just like Corey was saying earlier, that's one of my favorites. Like, if you're behind a very crowded counter and there's seven people behind the counter, get your hands up to get by them and say, okay, coming by, but my hands are up here. All right. And it's not rocket science, but a lot of people need to be shown how to do it.
This is great. Let me try and corral a bunch of different topics and so we can wind
up
here. Great. It's great. I don't want to let everybody, I don't want all our listeners off the hook that these are issues that are just early careerists. Like, a lot of people's soft skills have atrophied over the years.
Yeah.
And I think that there's I'm trying to think of from an actionable thing that ethics, compliance, training, and communications people can do. Is there's something to be said for offering soft skills training that ties into our values. There's a nice little combo there. word choice, body language, these kinds of things, because it may be a bigger problem for the generation coming up, but we know that this is an ongoing issue for many kinds of companies. Yeah. A couple other bullet points I'm pulling out of here that I thought were worth amplifying. I love the phrase, clever is kind. Clever is kind. Clear is kind. Excuse me.
I mean, clever can be kind too, but yes.
I do. But I love clear is kind. That's such a wonderful phrase and specifics. If I'm talking to the training and comms people out there, specifics. I love the solution of, all right, we're going to say the specific thing that we want to teach people about, but we're going to put a disclaimer on it. And we're going to warn people so that we're going to tell them the context of which we're using it. Feels like a great solution. That's what we chose to do for our video, knowing full well that some companies aren't quite ready for that. But I think if we're offering thought leadership, it's the more specific we can get, the better, because it gets rid of that ambiguity. I love the idea of promoting allyship. If you're talking about speak up culture, I love that as a concept that we should be putting forward to help our colleagues be more comfortable speaking up on behalf of others. Does anyone else, both Corey, Len, or Tom, have other sort of final words of wisdom that you want to offer people who are trying to get into these issues and train and communicate their people about these issues?
I would say be comfortable with the discomfort. It is, like I said, I was back and forth about using the word. And I remember saying to Len, are we sure we want to do this? We're going to get some feedback. And Len said, yeah, this is what we need to do. And we had gone to our IND department. We said, this is what we're going to do. And IND said, yeah, go for it. And we went to our legal department and we said, this is what we're going to do. And legal said, yeah, you got to do it. And we had the support of all of our teams behind us. Did that make me feel any better? I still was nervous as we went to launch. I'm still nervous anytime I look at the feedback because, like we said, it's maybe a very small percentage of people that did not like it in the number of however many partners that we signed this training to. And so really, when you think about it, that percentage is small, but there is a little discomfort in there. And you know that you're going into some dangerous territory and it could be good and it could be bad. But the one thing that we have learned is that you got to try it. You got to go for it. If it doesn't work out, then you pivot and you try something different. And that's, Ronnie knows this is how we work, is that we're always willing to try it. We're always willing to, as our CECO says, throw the spaghetti at the wall and see if it sticks.
That's great. Len, anything that you want to tailgate? You're a good tailgater.
I am a good tailgater, but I better put the brakes on, back away from the bumper, because I can't improve on that. And it really describes so much about how we work, is that our team's motto is to innovate and elevate and educate. And innovate always comes first. And that, because that's the only way you're really going to be able to do the other two. A lot of times in ethics and compliance, we're not teaching people a new skill. We're not telling them something or teaching them something that they don't already know. We're reminding them.
Yeah.
This is how you're supposed to behave at work. To your point, Ronnie, about all the folks that aren't at their first job, it's, oh yeah, I just came back into the office for the first time in 3 years. I can't behave the same way I did in my basement in my pajama pants and a dress shirt in front of teams. It's going to be different now. So yeah, it's everything Corey said in spades is how we improve ourselves as well.
So easy way to remember the acronym innovate, elevate, educate.
Which is sometimes what we say when we read the feedback.
Yes.
That's all right.
Yeah, there you go.
That's all right.
Tom?
So this has been great. I hope that our listeners have enjoyed this as much as Ronnie and I have listening to you guys and learning from you all. I hope that we can continue this conversation in the future. Ronnie, you want to say goodbye?
Bye, everybody. Innovate, elevate, educate. So great.
All right.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Creativity and Compliance. If you enjoyed the episode, make sure to subscribe and leave a review.
This is Tom Fox again. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Creativity and Compliance. We've linked to you more information about the topics of today's podcast in the show notes, so check them out. Also, check out Learnings and Entertainments. Ronnie has a wealth of information. Creativity and Compliance is a production of the Compliance Podcast Network.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.